Well, how many have received something special from the Lord today? Well, a few. I'm talking about something encouraging from the Lord. Some reminder, something that would help you. Anybody like that? Well, a few have. You're just the crowd that I'm looking for then. Amen. You know, the Lord sends something along our way every day as a reminder and to encourage us of His faithfulness. I believe that. Sure. If you don't believe it, turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. And let's see what Jesus had to say about it. Matthew 6, 26. He said, "Behold, the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" And then if you want to turn back to Job 12 and 7. "But ask now the beast, and they shall teach thee. And the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee." All right. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and for your mercy and your blessings unto us up unto this hour. We pray that you'd strengthen our faith if ever there was a day, an age in which we need the comfort, the encouragement, and the strength that comes from you and from your word. And the blessed Comforter, it's surely in these days. We pray you'd open your word to our heart. We'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before I preach, I wonder, Sister Webb, when I get through, would it be asking too much for you to sing us a special? You just think about it. You can do whatever you want to do. Not really. All right. Jesus said, "Behold the fowls of the air." Now, I don't know all that's entailed in this matter of behold, but I think it's a little bit beyond just the ordinary to look or listen or see. When Jesus said, "Behold the fowls of the air." And the fowls of the air go across every day, every morning, every evening, singing the praises of God. And a lot of times we're so discouraged and looking down at our problems and down at the ground until we never see them. We never pay any attention to their song. We don't receive any of the encouragement that they have to give. I don't know if you have a front porch, but I'm blessed with a front porch. I live almost in the woods. And there's trees on the right hand and on the left hand and in front. And the birds, they just, they can just do whatever they want to do, flitter around and sing and minister or sit there and listen. And it's an encouragement to me. When I hear them singing the praises of God, it's an encouragement to me. For the Lord said, "Behold, the fowls of the air." Well, they're all around us as testimonies to God's goodness and God's faithfulness because He has assumed the responsibility for the fowls. But not only has He received and assumes the responsibility for the fowls, but He has for you and I. You know, whenever Well, I don't know just who all the... I guess the devil picks on everybody. But if you was ever in the ministry and you get down to old age, if I ever get there, Brother Webb ever gets there, but the devil probably come around and say, how are you going to make it? How are you going to keep from starving to death? Well, I don't know, other than the faithfulness of God. I have tried to build up a little momentum so that if I get in a close place, you know. Or maybe Brother Quayle's in special work and the devil comes around and said, you know, you could be making a lot more money doing something else. You could be preparing for retirement and all of that. And what are you going to do in times like that? Layman out there, the devil said, what's going to happen whenever you fall and break a leg and then, you know, you never get back to work, or whenever your company goes belly up and goes down and you don't have a job, and on and on and on, all of the questions and the discouraging things that come along the way. But Jesus said, just look up and behold the fowls of the air, for if he'll take care of the lesser, how much more does he want to take care of the greater? And we're the greater. Praise God. Well, a lesson in the tedious care of our loving Heavenly Father. And I'm glad he does care for us tonight. I remember years ago working on the roof of a church, and one of the boys in the congregation, and I think he'd been to Bible school and seemed like he'd come, maybe he was home for the summer, and he was looking for a job to try to make money. Bible school students always needing a job, always needing money. And he'd been praying about it and maybe doing some looking for a job, but he was very, very low and discouraged about it all. He said, you know, I don't believe the Lord even knows where I'm at. But the good thing is, he does know where we're at. When I was in God's Bible school, and there again, students would be looking for a job and want a job that would fit their schedule and that type of thing. And Brother Orndorff, he said, you know, I'd pray. And I think he's still an old man up there and living at God's Bible school. But he said, you know, I would pray and feel like I'd got through and touched God and believing God for a job. And then he said, as time would wear on, and he said the devil had out-wrestle me and I'd get discouraged and I'd feel like it wasn't going to work. So he said, I come up on the plan. What I'll do, I'll pray tonight. I'll look to the Lord. I'll pray through on this thing, get to the place where I've got the victory, and then I'll get in bed and go to sleep and not have to worry about it. Well, you know what happened, don't you? He prayed and got it over on the Lord and got in bed, but he couldn't go to sleep. Well, God knows where we're at, and he knows all about it. Well, the birds, they're singing, and they're saying, you know, God has taken care of us. God is taking care of us, and I don't know what's going to happen in this old world. I don't know if there'll be an uprising. I don't know if famine and peril will come round about us. I don't know. It could happen. We're in last days, and, you know, if it happens and droves come out of the city and try to round up the food and take it away from us poor country people. I don't know what happens, but I do know that God is on the throne and he's promised to take care of us. Well, the birds are weak. They're limited. He said they don't sow and they don't reap and they don't put it in barns. Store it up. But that doesn't mean that they're lazy. I tell you, I've seen them search and scratch. And there's a robin or two that comes out there in the front yard. And you know, he'll take a few steps and he'll stop and listen and maybe turn that head. Somebody told me that what they're doing is listening for night crawlers and they can hear those night crawlers crawling. I don't know if they can or not. But once in a while, you know, he's successful and he finds a good juicy worm. sitting there on the porch, little old sparrow came up within 5 foot of me and right in under the shrub. And boy, in a little bit, he jumped back out and he had him a worm to eat, and off he flew. I don't imagine you like worms. I wouldn't like worms. I think Daniel Stafford was preaching, Brother Webb, a long time ago, on carnality. And he said these grandparents were having their grandson, little Junior, come. And they agreed. They said, you know, we want to make this a happy time. We'll do everything we can to get along with him. And so Junior came. But whenever it come breakfast time, Junior, he didn't want cereal. He didn't want bacon and eggs. He didn't want whatever they had. He said he wanted two worms. Well, Grandpa wasn't about to, but Grandma said, now remember what we agreed, that we'd do everything we can. And so reluctantly, Grandpa went and dug two worms. Then Junior said, I want them fried. And there Grandma began to set her heels to put them two worms in her skillet. But Grandpa said, now, you know what we've agreed on. We'll do everything we can. And I've dug the worms. It's your job to fry them. And she fried them. Carnality is never satisfied. I don't care. You can bend over backwards. It doesn't matter. He said, I want Grandpa to eat one of them. Grandpa, he set his heels in again, but Grandma said, you know, and we carried it on this far. And so I don't know if he put ketchup on it or mustard on it or what he done, but he ate the other worm. He ate the worm. And then Junior, after that happened, Junior went into a titanic. I mean, he went into a fit, you know. I mean, he said, Grandpa got the one I wanted. Well, birds eat worms. Humans are not made to eat worms. And Grandpa went a lot farther than this grandpa would go. I can tell you that right now. But they don't just, they're not lazy. They're out there scratching and searching and doing what they can so that they can find something to eat and find what the Lord has provided for them. And it varies. This afternoon or evening when I was sitting out on the porch, that little hummingbird came up there, you know, and there's a wind chime of some kind of got color to it. And boy, he right up to that with his beak, but he found out it was a disappointment in the way he went, you know. He checks out everything. But I don't think a worm, I doubt he'd want a worm. I think his appetite would be in a different way. The old woodpecker gets on that, you know, and just hammers away, looking for beetles or bugs or whatever. I heard of one. It was hammering away. Finally, he thought he'd give it one more last lick, you know. And he reared back, and I mean, give it all that he had. And about that time, lightning struck the tree and split that thing right down the middle. And he died thinking he done it. Well, the old buzzards get the roadkill. You know, it's a nuisance to us, but God's providing for the roadkill. I'm not a hunter, but I think I know that turkeys eat a lot. And I thought about wild turkeys out there, how that they could find enough to eat, but God provides even for the wild turkeys. And yet you say you've never seen anything to encourage you today. You've never looked up. You've never thought about in this sixth chapter where he said, behold, the fowls of the air. I'm looking after them. I'm taking care of them. Well, you say, are we not supposed to store up anything? No, that's not what Jesus was saying. He said, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and the ant, you know, made preparation, and so that's not the thing. But in this story and in this scripture, it talks about, on down, about the lily, and that was in reference to raiment. He said the lily, you know, is dressed a lot better than what even Solomon in his finery. And then the fowls of the air have to do with the provision of food that God provides. There's been a few close times, Brother Webb, down through the years in the ministry. Whenever we had to take our temporal needs to the Lord and say, Lord, this, things are getting a little close, and your servant's about run out of money and about out of provisions and out of, and the Lord has never failed us. I heard somebody some time ago, and they said we always bought groceries first, and if we had anything left, we paid our bills. Well, we always paid our bills and then and bought baby food, and if there was anything left after that, well, then we had something to do with it. We don't have to try to make it appear greater than what it is. God is faithful, and God is on the throne. Brother R.W. Eichel said when he was in school there in Frankfurt, and they were kind of needing some groceries, but one of the other classmates said, you know, I'm going to bring you some. And he said, well, I tell you what. He said, I'm going over to the house, and we're fixing to have devotions. And he said, we'll pray, I'll pray the Lord to send in groceries. And then he said, you knock on the door, and you've got the groceries. And we can see, you know, wife can see how the Lord has provided. But, you know, she's seen right through it all anyway. So we don't have to try to make it look good on God. He'll make it look good. He always does. Praise God. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. They're His responsibility. So are you where you ought to be geographically? Are you where you ought to be spiritually? Are you in the place that God wants you to be? And if you are, He's obligated Himself to feed you, to clothe you, to take care of you. He said, are ye not much better than they, than the fowls? Are you not better than them? Well, I think we are. I think you are. Sometimes, even if you don't feel like you are, yet you are. And the Lord knows that. Jesus asked this question, are you not much better than they? Sometimes we see the grain or the corn dumped where it's spilled off the truck over on the side of the road, and then traffic runs through it and crunches it up and gets it in a position for the fowls. I've wondered sometimes when snow would come and be on the ground for week after week how the fowls of the air made it. And I don't know, other than my heavenly Father is watching out for them. One winter, whenever snow was on the ground, there was a dozen turkeys come down the road right to the corner of the property. And I think they probably was looking for something to eat. Some of them have sense enough to go south in the winter, don't they? That'd be nice if we could do that. Said he was mindful of the passing or the fall of every sparrow. In the 104th Psalm, he said by them, it was talking about the springs of water. By them, the springs of water, shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. And they sing and sing and sing their little hearts out. And I don't want them to just do it all. I want to praise God. I want to glorify Him. I want to let Him know that I'm depending on Him. And if I go down, I'll go down trusting God. I've thought of the song that Troy Cook used to sing quite often. When I get to heaven's gate, find it locked and have to wait. But if I am free from sin, they'll have to let me in. I mean to keep believing just the same. Okay, Sister Webb. All righty. Well, what about if they sang and then you did? Okay. All right, Brother and Sister Quayle, is that... Well, they better practice up, hadn't they? Yes, sir. Lord bless them.